Well, I invite you to turn with me, if you would, as we turn to our main teaching time, to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're new to the Bible, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, and we are going to be in Matthew chapter 1 and looking at verses 20 through 23 today. If you don't have a Bible, you will find that text printed for you in your bulletin if you are here with us in person. Once again, our text, Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, and we are in the second week of our Advent series that we have entitled Christmas with Joseph, When Things Don't Go as Planned. And our goal here in this series leading up to Christmas is really twofold. We want to learn from Joseph. We want to learn from the life and conduct of Joseph surrounding the pregnancy and the birth of Jesus on how do we respond? How should we respond when life doesn't go as we planned it? But we also want to see the birth and the significance of Jesus in a fresh new way. And last week we learned when Joseph was surprised at this news of Mary's pregnancy, we learned that the first thing he did was he resolved to do the right thing in the right way. He resolved to do the right thing in the right way. Under enormous pressure, what did he do? He showed integrity and kindness. But here's the thing. As we are going to see this morning, sometimes, maybe oftentimes, our moral commitments and our moral character isn't enough to figure the situation out. You see, oftentimes in life, we run into situations where the rules don't neatly apply. So what do we need? We need wisdom. We need a broader perspective on the whole. We need a God-given perspective on our life and on our situation. And this is what Joseph gets. He gets a God-given perspective that leads him and guides him, that comforts him and reassures him. But how do we get it? How do we get a God-given perspective on our life that's going to give us the wisdom and the comfort and the guidance we need when the rules don't apply? That's what I want to look at. So starting at verse 20, I'll read this and then we'll begin. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This ends the reading of God's word. Well, in 1967, a 17-year-old energetic and athletic young lady took a simple dive into the water. Unfortunately, this young lady misjudged the shallowness of the water, and she fractured part of her neck and immediately was paralyzed from the shoulders down. Here is this young woman who is hiking and running and diving with her whole life and her dreams and her plans in front of her. And one minute she's diving with a smile on her face into the water, and the next minute she's a quadriplegic. As you can imagine, for the next several months and years, she suffered from anger and depression, suicidal thoughts, comprehensive pain. Something happened. Somehow, this young lady, who is paralyzed from the shoulders down, went on to become a world-renowned author and artist and vocalist and conference speaker and a champion for the disabled all across the world. This young lady went on to receive several honorary doctorates and worldwide awards. Many of you know her name, Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny Erickson Tada, all of a sudden, was facing a situation that she did not plan for. But what was it? How did she turn her life into a life in ministry that blessed the world? Well, this is what she said. I have learned that perspective is everything when you're facing the challenges of life. She said, I have learned that perspective is everything when you are facing the challenges of life. How did Johnny do it? So many people asking that question. What was it? Was it a change in her circumstances? No. Was it a change in her situation? No. It was a change in her perspective. What did she get that changed everything for her? She got perspective. But it wasn't just any perspective. It was a God-given perspective on her life that brought her peace and brought her comfort and brought her purpose. And what did Joseph get here? He got the same thing. Do you notice what is Joseph given here? Not a new situation. The situation, right, with Mary's unplanned pregnancy, the situation didn't change at all. What changed for Joseph? His perspective on it. He was given a God-given perspective that changed everything for him. What did Johnny need? What did Joseph need? What do you and I need? We need, not for our circumstances to change. Ultimately, it's not for that. It's not for our situations to change. What do we need? We need our perspective to change. We need a God-given perspective on our lives and on our circumstances. And this is what God is committed to give to us. But here's our challenge. Here's my challenge. Our challenge is that our natural tendency, each and every day, is to lean on our own understanding, right? Ever since humanity's fall in the garden, our natural inclination, our natural tendency is to think that and to assume that our immediate view of things is always the right view of things. It's just natural to assume that the way I'm immediately assessing this, the way I'm immediately viewing this is the right way to see it. It's the right way to view it. But that's not what we find here. The way Joseph was initially viewing this was actually not the appropriate way of viewing it. What did he need? He needed a God-given perspective. So what's going to move us? What's going to move me to seek out God's perspective on things more and more? To not lean on my own understanding. It's such a struggle. What's going to help us and motivate us and move us to really seek God's view on our lives and circumstances? Well, I think it's to know something about him. We need to know what we can count on with the Lord, who he is and what his perspective will give to us. And I think this is what we see here. I want to draw out three key truths that we learn about the Lord from this passage that should motivate us to seek out God's perspective for our lives and our circumstances like never before. Three things that we see here about the Lord that we can count on from the Lord. The Lord leads his people, the Lord saves his people, and the Lord reassures his people. What's going to motivate you? What's going to move you to not lean on your own understanding, but to acknowledge him, to seek out God's perspective? It's to remember that the Lord leads us, saves us, and reassures us. So first, we need to remember that the Lord leads his people. Think about it. What's the great need? What's the great cry that we are hearing over and over in our world today? What are people longing for? We are longing for leadership we can trust. We are longing for a leader that we can fully get behind. And it doesn't matter what your religious commitments are, all of us sense this need for guidance in our lives. All of us sense this need for leadership we can trust. Who are you going to turn to? Friend, I want to ask you, who are you turning to on a day-to-day basis? Who are you turning to for guidance? Who are you turning to for perspective? Listen to Eric Little. He once said this: if you are not guided by God, you will be guided by something or someone else. If you are not guided by God, you will be guided by something or someone else. And as a Christian, as a believer, we have the promise that God is committed to lead us and guide us. As his children, as his sheep, he promises to lead us. I tell you, one of the things I often will go back to in my time of prayer is I'll say to the Lord, you're the shepherd. I know I'm a shepherd here shepherding the flock, but you are the shepherd, and I'm your sheep, and it's your job to lead me. I need it. I need you to lead me. What does Joseph get here? He gets leading. He gets guidance. When we seek out God's perspective on life, what do we get? We get guidance. We get leadership. We get leadership we can fully trust. All right, but here's the question. I want to drill down a little bit more into this. How do you sense his leading? Right? How do you draw upon the Lord's commitment to lead you? Well, the first thing that we see here is that we've got to slow down and think things through. What's the first thing that we read here in verse 20? It says Joseph considered these things. As he considered these things, the Lord showed up and led him through it. And the word here literally means he gave serious thought to this. Now think about this. Here he is, and he's in a predicament. He's in a dilemma that he didn't plan for. But what do we see him not doing? He's not flying off the handle, right? He's not being impulsive and reckless and reactionary. He's not saying, that's it. The betrothal's off. That's it. I know what I need to do. I need to end this agreement. No, what did he do? He stopped. He gave serious thought to this. And this is one of the things that we have to do. As Christians, we're never called to check our minds at the door. One of the key issues that I'm constantly running into in my own life is I'm not taking the time to slow down and to think things through. And when we do that, God promises to draw near and to lead us. Listen to what Paul says later on in the New Testament. He says this. He says this to Timothy. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Did you catch that? I want you to think over what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Wait. So which is it? Right? Is the Lord going to give me understanding in everything? Or do I need to sit down and think things through? You see, it's a both and. We need to use the minds that God has given to us, not be impulsive, not be reactionary. If we've got a decision to make, we've got some predicament we're up against, we've got to slow down. We've got to stop and think things through. It's the first thing that we see here. Next thing I would say is that we've got to think through our situation always through the lens of scriptural truth. We've got to search and study the scriptures to be acquainted with God's will and wisdom for our situations. Again, we are told earlier that Joseph was a just man. He was a man of faith. So we have to imagine that Joseph's not sitting here just kind of, you know, twiddling his thumbs, daydreaming here. No, he's probably thinking through his situation through the lens of the scriptural truth that he had at the time. But here's the thing. If you're reading this text and you're being honest with the text, this is probably the point where someone's like, yeah, but wait a minute. We don't read here that Joseph's sitting here having a Bible study, right? He's just taking a snooze. I mean, the guy's just sleeping. And an angel appears and just leads him in the way that he should go. I mean, this isn't Joseph studying the scriptures to get his leading. I mean, he's just taking a nap. And all of a sudden, an angel says, this is what you need to do. Where's my angel? Right? I mean, where's my angel just showing up to me in a dream? Wouldn't that be nice? And just telling me, you know, here, this is how you figure out your situation. Is that what I should expect? Well, it's really important, really critical to remember whenever we come into contact with angelic activity like this in the New Testament and even in the Old, it's important that we remember where we're at in human history. If you study the Bible, you will find over and over that whenever God is bringing new divine authoritative revelation to his people, do you know what it always frequently comes with? Miraculous signs and the activity of angels. When God is bringing new divine authoritative revelation for his people, how does he authenticate it? He authenticates it with miracles and angels. And so where we're at in human history is that we're no longer in a period where God is giving new divine authoritative revelation. You see, that period has closed. That period has ceased with the completion of the New Testament. And so we shouldn't be just waiting for Gabriel to show up to us in a nap and to tell us what to do. Why? Because that was for a very specific purpose. Now, obviously, God can do anything he wants. And I'm not saying that can't happen, but we shouldn't bank on it happening. We shouldn't expect for that to be the process in which God leads us. The process is going to look different for Joseph than for us. But here's the thing, the promise of his leading, the promise of his revelation is the same, my friend. And with the completion of this New Testament, what we have is God's full and final message for us. See, what's an angel? An angel is a messenger. And what do we have in the scriptures? We have the complete message of God. And so our job, our goal, is to go to the scriptures and to get acquainted with the scriptures, to get acquainted with the message of God and the wisdom of God, that we might learn more and more how to apply his wisdom to our lives. Maybe think of it like this. I'll try to give you an example. Think of the Bible like the ultimate weather report or traffic report. So my hunch is that many of you have been checking the weather recently. You've been checking the weather reports, especially as this nor'easter has been rolling in. Why? Because we know that a weather report or a traffic report doesn't have the limited perspective on things that we do. You see, a weather report has the satellite, or a traffic report has the helicopter. Why are we going to those reports? Why are we relying upon those reports? Because we instinctively know they have a greater perspective than we do. They have a view from above, you see. What is the Bible? What is the scriptures? It's the view from above. And can you imagine someone going through all the seasons of New England and just relying upon their own intuition every single time? How do you think that's going to go? No, what do? We go to the weather report. We go to the view from above. And this is what we have in the scriptures, my friend. God leading us and giving us his perspective from above. That doesn't mean we're going to flip open the Bible here, and I'm going to find out exactly who I'm supposed to marry and, find out exactly, if I should buy this or buy that. No. But God's Spirit, his Spirit will guide us and prompt us and take his truth and apply it to our situations. Let me give you another example. I was recently talking with David Wells. And he was sharing with me that the longer that he has been acquainted with his wife, Jane, the more he just instinctively knows what she's wanting in a moment. He said, you know what, she doesn't even need to say anything specific for me to do. All she needs to do is give me a look. She just needs to give me a look, and I know exactly what I need to do in the situation. He says, sometimes she doesn't even need to give me a look. I've just gotten so acquainted with her ways and wishes, I know exactly what David should do. Now, you see, this is sort of what it's like. The more we get acquainted with the scriptures, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, when we come into a particular situation, the Holy Spirit gives us a look. The Holy Spirit gives us a prompting. And what the Spirit does is he applies God's wisdom to our particular situation. But you see, we've got to be acquainted with it. The more we're in this book, the more we're going to have the perspective of from above. And the Holy Spirit's going to take the word and give us a prompting and a leading. And the next thing I would say before we move on is that we've got to realize that God leads us through the unexpected providences of life. One way of looking at this visit is trusting the unexpected hand of God's providence in our lives. Joseph didn't schedule this, right? I mean, Joseph didn't have this angelic visit in his appointment book. It just came out of nowhere. And one way to understand this, one way to think about this, is that God leads us in 101 different ways. He leads us with his hand of providence, that he's going to come to us in ways that we don't expect. And in his providential care, he's going to guide us and lead us in the way that we should go. So we should truly believe that he's going to work all things together for our good. He is going to lead us. As we take time and think things through, as we think through our situation through the lens of Scripture and get more and more acquainted with his will, and as we trust that his hand of providence is over every circumstance of our lives. So the Lord leads his people. Go to him for a perspective on life because he promises to lead us. Second thing that we see, that the Lord saves his people. So what is Joseph told with this revelation that he gets? Well, he's told first that Mary's story was true, that the child actually is from the Holy Spirit. But what's the next thing he learns? Next thing he's told is that he doesn't get a choice in picking out the name. He gets no choice in picking out the baby's name. God's going to pick out his own name. Notice this? He gets no choice in the name choosing. He says this. He's told this. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In the Hebrew, his name is Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. But saves from what? Saves from low self-esteem? Saves from financial downturn? No. What is Jesus come to do? What has the Lord come to do? What is his ultimate mission? He has come to save us from our sins. And I know this word, sin, isn't a popular word in our day. It's not a popular word, but it'll always be a relevant word. It'll always be a timely word, and it'll always be a biblical word, because over and over the Bible says to us that the real problem that needs to be dealt with, the real problem that's wreaking havoc upon humanity, is our sin. And I want to say that this very mention here in this message of sin and salvation, the very fact that God is mentioning sin and salvation, is proof positive that this is the perspective that all of us need and actually are looking for in life. All of us, when we're faced with dilemmas and predicaments, what are we all looking for? We're looking for a perspective that's both honest and hopeful at the same time. Right? We want to go to someone who's going to speak the truth to us, even if we don't want to hear it, but also is going to encourage us. Friend, you are never going to get someone who's going to be more honest and hopeful with you than God himself. You see, God is the true friend. God is the wonderful counselor who's going to tell us not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And he's going to do it in a way that's both honest and hopeful. So someone said this: you can never measure your own nose by just looking at it yourself. Go ahead and try. You need some outside help and perspective. And friend, You and I are never going to measure what's truly wrong with us and truly wrong with the world without God's outside help and perspective. And what he says over and over is that the problem that ails us is sin. It's this twisting of good things and a turning from our Creator and leaning on our own understanding and wanting to go our own way. It's believing that, God, you are not good and I don't need you. This is the problem that ails us. But here's the great thing about Christianity. It never comes to us and it never just gives us the diagnosis. It never just says, now here's what ails you. No, it comes to us and says, but there's a cure for what ails you, and the cure is Jesus. The great problem that we struggle with and that is wreaking havoc upon humanity, this is what God has come to deal with. Listen to how Andrew Peterson, the singer-songwriter, put it. He said, someone had to pay for the sins of the world, and only God was man enough to do it. You see, sin and death came into this world through a man, and the only way it could be overcome was by a man, but all of us had fallen short of God's standard, and so none of us could do it. And so we needed someone to be born of a virgin, someone that's not going to be tainted by sin, to accomplish it for us. And this is what Jesus has come to do. He has come to deliver us from our greatest problem. I've heard one religious scholar put it like this. If you were to ask Muhammad, can you save me from my sins? He would say that you're blaspheming. If you were to ask Buddha, can you save me from my sins? He would say to you, you're still in the veil of delusion. But if you ask Jesus, can you save me from my sins? He would say to you, my child, that's exactly why I came. I can save you from your sins because I am the friend of sinners. I was born to die so that you might live. And I went to Calvary with a cross on my back and died there, taking all of sin's penalties so that you might be completely forgiven, so that you don't have to face eternal judgment, because there I was taking God's judgment in your place when you trust in me. Friend, the Bible says that this is a trustworthy statement and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ came into this world to save sinners. And if you're exploring the claims of Christianity, if you're wondering why you should even look into Jesus, you got to know that this is what makes Christianity so unique. Think about it. Every other religious system and philosophy will say something like this. You've got to do everything you can to pay the price to get to God. Ultimately, it's up to you. You've got to do everything you can to pay the price to get to God or to have some spiritual experience. But only Christianity says this. God has done everything that's needed, and he's paid the price to get to you. Christianity is not a ladder going up that we build by our works to try and get to God. No, friend, true Christianity is a ladder coming down that's been built by the perfect life and work of Jesus to get to us. This is our hope. This is the reason why Christians have a song in their heart. This is our hope, is that Jesus has come to save us from our sins, that we might be completely forgiven and God's now and forever. And friend, if you're looking for a perspective on life that's both honest and hopeful, if you're looking to go to someone who you know is completely for you, you're never going to find anyone better than this. What are you waiting for? Why do we go throughout our days leaning on our own understanding? My friend, it's because we don't know God as we should. We're not drawing upon who he is, that he promises to lead us, promises to save us. Think about it. When we were at our worst, what did God do? He gave us his best. When we had turned our backs on God, he did not turn his back on us. This is the friend. This is the mentor. This is the counselor that we're all looking for. Go to him because he leads us and he saves us. Third and finally, the Lord reassures us. I need reassuring. I don't know about you, but my faith is often very feeble. I'm very wobbly. I may not come across that way, but week by week, one of my constant prayers is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And what do we see him doing here? In this dream, he's reassuring Joseph that Mary's story is true. But then did you catch what else we see here? Look at verses 22 through 23. What is he doing through Matthew? He's reassuring his people that his plan was right on schedule. Matthew says, this was all to fulfill God's promise that this would happen and that God would come to be with us. He's reassuring us over and over when we go and get his perspective on life. He's reassuring us that we can count on him, that he is faithful. I got to share this. When Lindsay and I had decided to take this call and to come up here, we were looking at the housing market in Hamilton. And it was very important for us to be in the town that we ministered in. And as I was looking at the real estate market, and as I was looking at the homes that were available on the market, I remember just saying to the Lord, this is impossible. Like, I know that you're able to do the impossible, but this really is impossible. Like, I have no idea how we're gonna have this happen. And we were praying, Lord, somehow, please provide. And I remember it was a day or so later, I was feeling really discouraged. And we were out, my daughter and I were out in our backyard, and we were working on the fence to get our Florida home ready for sale. And Hannah noticed something in the grass. And she said, Daddy, what is this? And she picked it up, and it was this very charred piece of newspaper. It was the remains of the newspaper we had used about a week earlier in our fire pit about 20 feet away that had apparently blown to this point right where we were standing. And she gives it to me, and I flip it over, and there is there's a verse on it. Just in big, bold letters is a verse on it. Psalm 68:6. And I said, "Do you know what this says?" She says, "No." I said, "Me neither." I said, "Let's go check this out. This is amazing." So we go and we look this verse up. And said this: God settles the solitary in a home. And the Lord used that verse to reassure me that he is the God of the impossible and that he is faithful to his people. And a day or so later, we found out that it was going to work out for John and Nancy Toby to sell us their home at 8 Whipple Road, South Hamilton. The Lord reassures his people that he is faithful, and that what do we find here? He is with us. Jesus is the with us God who comes to us when we seek out his perspective and says to us over and over, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, this is not the normal way that God does things, right? I'm not going around looking for newspaper clippings, every day. This is not normative, but he will reassure you. Whether it's in a song or a text message or even through a sermon like this, he will come to you and he will say, you can count on me. I am faithful to my promises and I am with you now and always. Let me close with this. I came across recently a poem that has become one of my favorites. It says this: He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day. But step by step, my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans, I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way. By faith, now walk ye in it. And I am glad that it is so,
today is enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, his grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave his son holds all my moments in his hands and gives them one by one.
Let's learn from Joseph. And let's resolve to do the right thing in the right way, and let us seek out a God-given perspective, because as Johnny said, perspective is everything when we're facing the challenges of life.
Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word, and Lord, I pray that we would be people of your word. Lord, that we would be committed more than ever to follow your leadership. And it's a leadership we can trust because you came on a rescue mission to save us from our greatest problem. And Lord, you are so kind. You know our feet are slow to walk the path of faith, that our faith is feeble. And so, Lord, you come and you reassure us time and again that we can trust you. We can trust your perspective. May we not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will make our path straight. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand together.
Friends, the charge is this: seek that perspective that comes from above. Seek a God-given perspective upon your life and upon your situation. And if you're wondering if there is complete forgiveness from God for you, and if you've come in repentance and in faith in the work of Jesus, not your own, then on the authority of God's word, not my own, I declare to you that all your sins are forgiven. If you need someone to pray with, the pastors are going to be available outside following the service for those of you who are here in person. But we have leaders available. If you're tuning in online, leaders available over Zoom right now who would love to pray with you. Just be a listening ear, whatever you might be going through. If you get our Sunday service bulletin by email, you'll find that link in there. But friend, go into this new day and into this new week with the assurance that in Christ, God is with us. And God is for us. Receive his blessing now. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May he bless you. May he lead you, may he guide you, may he reassure you, and may he comfort you with his presence, both now and always. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace.